আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রাব্বিল আলামিন والصلاه والسلام على سيد الانبياء والمرسلين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our beautiful program. Alhamdulillah Azzawajal, we're back again with a beautiful new topic that we're going to be discussing today, inshallah Azzawajal. A topic that is very, very important and such a thing that Allah Azzawajal himself has ordered for this amal to be done. Before we go into the topic and do anything, let me just introduce you to our panel today, mashallah Azzawajal, on the right side. Harun bhai, alhamdulillah azawajal, as always, mashallah azawajal, with all his gadgets in today, subhanallah. Mashallah azawajal, Shiraz bhai, alhamdulillah, beautiful Imama Sharif as normal, mashallah azawajal, Allah ta'ala keep you smiling. Mashallah, Shiraz bhai is back, alhamdulillah, today. Shiraz bhai, we had a lot of viewers asking for you, so we thought I might as well give you back before they come to me.
Back by popular demand.
Back by popular demand, no doubt, mashallah. And also Umar bhai, mashallah azawajal. So inshallah azawajal, let's start our program for today. And we'll do the tilawat first and then the kalam, inshallah, azza wa jalla. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wallazina kazzabu bi ayatina sanastadrijuhum min haythu la ya'lamun. وأملي لهم إن كيدي متين أولم يتفكروا ما بصاحبهم من جنة إن هو إلا نذير مبين أولم ينظروا في ملكوت السماوات والأرض والأرض وما خلق الله من شيء وأن عسى أن يكون قد اقترب أجلهم فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون من يضلل الله فلا هادي له ويذرهم في طغيانهم يعمهون آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم
ما شاء الله we'll go and listen to a kalam now
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله قسمت میری چمکائیے چمکائیے آقا آقا قسمت میری چمکائیے چمکائیے آقا آقا قسمت میری چمکائیے
میری فرما یہ آقا آقا للہ
اللہ شفاعت میری فرما یہ کا للہ شفاعت میری فرما یہ آقا عطار کو عطار پیا شاہ مدینہ ہو عنایت آقا عطار پیا شاہ مدینہ ہو عنایت ویران دل کی بسا جائیے آقا آقا ویران دل آ کے بسا جائیے آقا آقا مجھ کو آقا مجھ کو بیدر پاک پہ بولوا یہ آقا آقا قسمت میری چمکا یہ آقا آقا مجھ کو بیدر پاک پہ بلوائیے آقا.
Very beautiful kalam written by Amir Ahl Sunnat, MashaAllah Azawajal. Allah Ta'ala accept us and Alhamdulillah give us the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. And the topic of today, I want to start off with this very beautiful hadith pak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says that Hazrat Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once I accompanied with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we went to this sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's house who was ill. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went inside and he asked him that, did you ever make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? And the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied that, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I used to make a dua in the court of Allah that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, if you are going to punish me on the day of judgment, then punish me in the dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, you are not strong enough to bear the punishment. Why don't you say that, Ya Allah, bestow good upon me in this world and in the hereafter and protect me from the punishment of the fire of hell. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then made dua for him and Allah azza wa jal blessed him with cure. This is what our topic is today, the power of dua and tawbah. Sometimes, you know, we don't even know what we're asking for. We had a person the other day I was talking to, and you know, he says that I always make dua that, Ya Allah, if I am bad in this world, then punish me in this world. We will never be able to withstand the punishment of Allah, even for a million trillionth of a second, if there is one. We will never be able to withstand the punishment. Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful. Allah Ta'ala will forgive us. So always ask for tawbah. But sometimes people ask, well, I always make dua, my dua is never accepted. We've got an answer for that as well. And then sometimes people say, I don't even know what to ask for. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, we've got Harun Bhai and Shiraz Bhai, mashallah Azza wa Jal. I want to start off with Shiraz Bhai, mashallah Azza wa Jal, because Shiraz Bhai, mashallah, is an alim deen, is a scholar. And we want to start off with Shiraz Bhai, alhamdulillah. Shiraz Bhai, the power of dua and tawbah, take it away.
Allah Azza wa Jalla, the most merciful, He's created insan. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ دَعِيفًا. Insan was created weak. And what happens is, we're sent into this world and, you know, as we're growing up, we discover different things. We have desires inside us, then we have the shaitan as well. And at every corner in our lives, wherever we turn, there is an opportunity, a chance to commit an indecent act, a sin. And this, you know, may Allah Azza wa Jalla help us to abstain from all these sins, minor, major, even the makruhat. this is a constant, is a life cycle. It happens, you know, for some people daily, that they are addicted to sins. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has also, to counterattack that, He has given us this ability to redeem ourselves, to ask for forgiveness, to make ourselves, you know, not feel hopeless in this world. So a person, no matter how much sins he commits in the dunya, just by asking Allah, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, I've committed many sins, and asking Him with sincerity, Ya Allah, forgive my sins, Allah Azza wa Jalla will always forgive a person for sins, as long as it is not kufr or shirk. Even then, in the dunya, if a person repents from that, Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept his repentance as well, if it's with sincerity. So that tawbah, inshallah, will come to that in a short time. The power of dua is phenomenal. A person who, you know, I'll give you an example. Once someone said to me that, look, my life is turned upside down, and, you know, this is happening and that is happening, and, you know, I've lost this much in wealth and this has happened. And he got to such a point where, you know, he was suicidal. And I'm glad this person came to me. It was in the month of Ramadan, and I'm glad this person came to me and spoke to me. And I said to him that, you know, the only thing that came, because the way he brought his story forward, I was like, you know, I was thinking, what is going on with this person's life? And the only thing in my head was the dua. That the power of dua, Allah Azza wa Jalla in various places says, make dua, I will accept. Come close to me, I will bless you. Now, this person, I said to him, go home and read some nawafil, read the Quran, and just make one sincere, powerful dua. Allah Azza wa Jalla will listen to your dua and He will accept your dua. Now, this person, he went on, and it seemed as if he was satisfied, you know, from the answer I gave him. I mean, he was going through suicidal thoughts, bleach and ropes he was buying and whatnot. He was getting ready for it. But he said that, look, just a thought. No, I was going to go ahead and do it, but someone said to me, just go towards a certain individual and speak to him. Someone sent him. So when I said to him, just make dua, Allah will change your life. And I said to him, I'm going to ring you tomorrow and ask you as well, you know, about what you, what your circumstances. So when he went home and he made dua, and he goes, just by doing that dua, he said, all that burden that was on top
Allah
of me.
Akbar,
I lost the burden in that dua. And he says that, look, and this is, it happens as well, a person when he's going towards committing suicide, he doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Bilkul.
Because he just quickly goes and does what he has to do, and, you know, he,
and sometimes, you know what, Ishraz, they might just look normal as well, and they'll end up doing committing suicide.
People, you think, wow, this person has committed suicide. So the power of dua, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us this tool. I mean, the scholars have mentioned that ibadat is, it doesn't have the strength inside it until you put dua in it. The same way food doesn't have strength inside the food until you put salt inside it. So they've given this, like, so the power of dua is very, very crucial, especially for Muslims in this day and age. Dua is our weapon. It's the weapon for us against the shaitan, against the dunya. Our bare hands cannot do much, but the power of dua can do a lot.
You know, you mentioned about ibadah. There is a hadith about ad-du'a mukhul ibadah. It's the essence of ibadah. And, you know, sometimes what happens is people will offer the salah. They'll have a lot of time, you know, mashallah. So in the month of Ramadan, you've got 20 rakat tarawih. But when it comes to dua, they just make a short dua and they just run away. Because why? They're tired. But dua should be, you know, from the heart. And you should take a bit of time asking from Allah.
What happens is making dua, I mean, you'll have two mindsets. One is, you know, that person who's rarely ever in the masjid. And the only dua he ever hears is the Arabic dua or Urdu dua. And when that person, for him, dua is, you know, when we go to a khatam, and they're like Al-Fatiha, and everyone just mumbling, they don't know what they're saying. Yeah? And everyone just copies like this. And when someone puts their hand over their face, everyone does it. They just be waiting for the first person. They don't know what dua is. People do not actually know what is dua. What would you, even when you go to Kabristan, I mean, you'll see some people just hold their hands and look around, and after a bit, they just wipe their face.
Bilkul.
They don't know what that is. And the essence of dua is basically asking Allah for anything. He is the one that has created you, the skies and earth. He has made kings into kings. He has made such massive universes. You're asking that entity for something.
MashaAllah. Harun bhai, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned that Allah azza wa jalla likes those people who ask from him. And it's also in the Quran, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Ask from me, I will accept your prayers. And when people say that, you know, my prayers are not answered, you know, what can we say? I want you to start off with whatever you think you want to start off with.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hafsab, mashallah, Shiraz Bey very beautifully encapsulated the essence of dua. Dua really is your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, as a creation, we have no power. All power rests with Allah Azza wa Jal. All the bounties are from Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything around us, it's an illusion. Because in essence, we have been created to make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is one of our main purposes of creation. Man will ask and Allah Azza wa Jalla will give, because Allah Azza wa Jalla loves granting and giving blessings. The famous hadith in Mubarakah, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, dua is the essence of worship. It is the very thing, you know, it's like somebody who's working a 40-hour week, and when it comes to Friday and wage time, he says, I don't want my wage, and he walks out, and you think, what a nutter. How does he manage that? You know, he's worked a 40-hour week. You pray Salah, you read the Quran, you do all of these things. And when it comes to, you know, asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for his blessings, you walk away. No. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's the essence of your worship. And you know, the scholars go as far, and you know, Shiraz Bey is here. They say that, you know, the actual act of making a dua is an act of worship in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla as you're making dua. Look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're actually asking for the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're asking for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to solve your problems. But while you're asking for that, Allah Azza wa Jalla is so happy with you that he's blessing you and rewarding you for the sake of asking him. The problem we have is this. We have left this dua, this very powerful weapon, and we have put it on the back seat. We don't appreciate its value. Do you get? Now, the problem is that we only turn to Allah Azza wa Jal when all our resources are finished. If I have a problem, this is very important to understand. When I have a problem, I will try and solve it myself. If I can solve it without anybody knowing, I'll try and do it. If I can't, I'll speak to my brother, I'll speak to my family. If I can't, I'll speak to somebody further afield. If I need a minister or somebody in authority, I'll go and contact them. And when everything fails me, you can't help me, he can't help me, nobody can help me, then I think, Ya Allah, tu ye madad karne wala. Now, this is what the scholars write. They say, well, look, why are you doing it? Why are you making life miserable for yourself? When the problem came, kyun dhakke khata tha dhar dhar? You know, what was that famous couplet of Allah? Phir ke gali gali taba thokre sab ki khaye kyun? Dil ko jo akal de khuda teri gali se jaye kyun? You know, why are you going and begging in front of people? You know, there was a famous couplet that said, wo ek sajda jise tu gira samajhta hai, hazar sajdon se deta insaan ko najat. You know, you get up in the morning, you prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, you recognize that Allah Azza wa Jal created me, I owe a duty to my creator, and you then ask, Ya Allah, I've got all these needs during the day.
Subhanallah.
Malik, you are the one who's going to fulfill them. Ya Allah, please help me. Nobody else can help me. Now you've asked the Creator. You don't need to put your hands in front of everybody else. You don't need to beg anybody else, because you've got the Creator on your side. But the problem is, the problem we have is, Jaban Pastena, we try everything else and then we turn to Allah.
The last result is Allah.
And look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. That Allah Azza wa Jal, although Allah Azza wa Jal tests us, so the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is a little slow in coming in that situation, because Allah Ta'ala wants to test our patience as well.
It's His hikmat in it, wisdom that we don't understand.
You know, that in that part, you know, when you are, every one of us has probably been through it. Well, you've tried everything else, you've failed, and you've put your, you know, sir rakna sajdeme, you've sort of forget everybody else now. I've just relied on Allah Azza wa Jalla. You put your head down in prostration. And he said, Malik, you are the only one who can help me. And you are, you know. And then there's that delay in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the hikmat and the wisdom behind that, you know, in that time, how humble And how sincere are you in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal?
MashaAllah, Shiraz Bhai, another thing that we, you know, we do is, we sometimes are hasteful, you know, jaldbazi. If our dua is not accepted, we think, that's it, my duas are not accepted. There's been instance where people have been making dua for something, and that dua, for they think that has not been accepted. And ma'azallah, they will go away from ibadat as well.
Hafizab, you know, we're living in that society. You know, when we do business, we want to put the money in and get it back out.
Yeah.
You know, son? We want it right there and then. And you know, like we know, Muslims know that when you give charity, is increased by 70 times. And charity, there's no loss in giving charity. And the Prophet ﷺ says that by giving money into sadaqah, it doesn't decrease. It's still there, it actually increases. Now we know the Prophet ﷺ says this, but we still don't give it.
Yeah.
We have this mentality where we give something, we want it back as well straight away. I mean, I give you £10, I want £70 back straight away. Same way, dua, we want to make the dua and get it back like the next morning when we wake up. That's our mentality. And this is, you know, this is where sabr kicks in as well. We need to make the dua and then become sabir. We need to be patient as well and wait for Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy. And in that is many hikmahs, wisdoms in waiting for Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy. Continues. You know, sometimes if Allah Azza wa Jalla just gives you everything, you become ghafil. Like I mentioned, you become ghafil. You've asked for something, Allah's given it, you become ghafil.
Mm-hmm.
But many a time, you, like 10 years ago, you've seen many like WhatsApp status quotes where they say, I used to make du'as for everything I got now. What that means is, 10 years ago, they were making du'a, Ya Allah, I want this, this, this. But they didn't see it coming then, but now they start 10 years later and they're looking back thinking, I made du'a for that, I made du'a for that, I made du'a. And Allah's given everything.
Yeah.
Yes, it took its time, there's wisdoms in that. Allah's really like, you know, if Allah gives you everything all at once, you might not be able to handle it.
Bilkul.
He gives it you in stages. And sometimes what happens is, I was talking to a friend and he says, look, there were times our family couldn't get like £3 together to get a box of pizza.
Allah.
And he says, we went through some very hard times.
Allah.
And he says, I made dua. And this was, he's talking 3-4 years before he actually told me, which was about 10 years ago. And he's like, even though we were struggling so much and I would make dua, I'd have hope. But I wouldn't see it at the same time. But if Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I didn't go through that phase, I wouldn't have been grateful now. If I didn't go through the phase of being skint, not having what I wanted to have, I would not have been grateful now. But because I've gone through that phase where we couldn't even like eat for a day, and now I've got this, everything's just worked out perfectly. He says, I'm grateful, and everything I have, and mashallah, he's got a lot. So he's grateful for it because Allah put him through that phase.
Mashallah.
And now it's made him into a better person, and he is more happier with what he's got now than if he had it all at once back then.
And another thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith pak mafhum is that, you know, your parents are a very, very blessed part of your life. There's a famous incident about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam when he goes to Kohetur, and Allah azza wa jalla, he says that, oh Musa, be careful. And he says, Ya Allah, you've never said that before, why now? And Allah azza wa jalla, he said that, oh Musa, before your mom, she used to make dua for you, for your khairiyat, for your good. But now, because your mom's passed away, you know, now you must be careful. I've got, mashallah, Azbin Islam brother. I know this Islam brother from Manchester, Imran Bhai, a very nice lad, mashallah. But he's smiling now as I mention his name. But why I want to mention his name is, you know, alhamdulillah, Azawajal, so much jazba that, you know, everything that I've got is the dua of my mother. You know, my parents, alhamdulillah. And no doubt, you know, the mothers, and if there's any mothers and fathers that are watching this, keep making dua for your children. Sometimes they get fed up, you know, here we go, oh, we go, forget this, no, no. Keep making dua. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who will change the time.
Even if your children are, you know, going astray, a lot of parents, they curse the children. Never do that. Always pray for them. Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat. And you know, for parents, Hafizab, you mentioned parents, and you mentioned the amazing Waliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, who used to pray. You know, Musa alayhi salam used to go to Kohetur, and the riwayat say, the scholars say, that Hazrat Maisaiba used to put their head in prostration. This is the du'as of the mother, and that's where the riwayat came from. You know, the parents can teach a lot to their children about appreciating ni'mats. I'll tell you a little incident that happened with me, and it kind of stopped me in my tracks many, many years ago. So, you know, when I first, alhamdulillah, started work and I became a barrister, a big thing, you know, and I bought a car. And I bought a car, it was a convertible. I parked it on the drive. And I still remember that day. It was a nice sunny day. I parked it on the drive and I had the key and I pressed the button and the roof came off and my mum was there. And my mum started to cry. And my mum said, Beta.
Why? Because she thought, you know, Chatti Goni Pajib.
No, what she said is, she said, Beta, what I want you to remember is this. And, you know, I've had a lot of cars since, you know, I've been practicing for 20 years. This is right at the beginning. She said, Beta, don't forget that we were those people who used to travel on Tange in Lahore. And Allah Zawajal has gifted you this. Don't get arrogant, don't get big-headed. You know, after that, yakin karenge, that stayed with me. You know, after that, I've had lots of cars. Alhamdulillah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've had one after the other, better ones, yeah? But every time I get a new car, I remember what they said. And I think, this is just a piece of metal. It's nothing to be arrogant or proud about, yeah? And that's all it is. And you know, Madni pool like that from your parents really keep your feet on the ground. Rather than cursing your children, give them beautiful Madni pool and they will stay with them. You know, sometimes we think our children aren't listening. Actual fact, your words have more effect on your children, but you need to say the right thing.
In a good tone.
You know, Hazrat Naqi Ali Khan, the father of Ala Hazrat, he writes, and Abhisab, I wanted to share this with the viewers of Madni Khan because there's a very important point in this.
Mm-hmm.
He writes some 40 plus times where du'as are accepted. Now, I want you to listen to this because I thought it was a long list, but I thought, our topic is the power of du'a. I think this will really spell it because I want to kind of reach a conclusion on this. They write Shabi Qadr, the 9th of Zulhijjah, Arafat, the day of Arafat, the night of Jummah, the day of Jummah, the midnight, Sehri time, the last sixth of the night, just before Maghrib on a Jummah, Wednesday between Zohar and Asr, going to the mosque, the time of Azan, when the skies of the heavens, the doors of the heavens are open, Takbir time between Azan and Iqamat, when the Imam says, Wallahuleen, and the five farz namazah after them, when you're in prostration, when you recite during Tilawat of the Quran, when you're listening to the Quran, when the Quran is completed, when the Muslims arrange rows for battle, when the battle heats up, when you're drinking Zamzam, when you're doing iftar, when it rains, when the hen calls, when the Muslims gather together, because in every 40 Muslims there is a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, when there's a mefil is zikr, the angels say Ameen at that time, near your deceased when they're about to die, when and you close their eyes, and when your heart is humbled in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, sometimes you're listening to something and your heart sings and you have that love for Allah, at that time make dua. He then writes, at the time of sunset as the doors of the heavens are open, when you wake up at night, you know what he writes is, sometimes you know in the middle of the night you just wake up. They said make dua straight away, because that is a time of acceptance as well. And then when you recite Surah Ikhlas Sharif, when you see the moon of Rajab, on Shabi Bara'at, on Eid al-Fitr, on Eid al-Udha, and during the whole month of Ramadan. Now, I read that and I read all of that though, the conclusion I came to is that the mercy of Allah is so amazing, because just pray. Make dua, because that's the conclusion you have to reach, because I don't think there's any time left. This is the mercy of Allah.
One is asking your mom and dad, mom, make dua for me, dad, make dua for me. And the other thing is that you do something good that they make dua for you, even without asking. Inshallah, we're going to continue this topic. We've got Umar Bhai, mashallah, for a kalam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. Nigahe lo Oh, رکھنا تیرے فقیروں میں اے شہر یار ہم بھی ہیں تیرے فقیروں میں اے شہر یار ہم بھی ہیں تمہاری سب کچھ ہے پڑے ہوئے تو سرے راگزار ہم بھی ہیں پڑے ہوئے تو سرے راگزار ہم جو سر پہ رکھنے کو مل جائے نال پاک حضور جو سر پہ رکھنے کو مل پھر کہیں گے کہ ہاں تاجدار ہم بھی ہیں تو پھر کہیں گے کہ ہاں تاجدار ہم بھی ہیں حسن ہے جن سخاوت کی دوم عالم میں حسن ہے جن کی سخاوت کی دوم عالم میں انہیں کے تم
Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, our topic for today is the power of dua and tawbah. One day a man came to the masjid and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was there, and he saw that this man, after he offered his salah, he gave salam, and then he started to ask in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to him that you have hastened, that you have done jaldbazi in your dua. You should have done the hamd of Allah Azza wa Jal and then recited durood upon me and then asked for your thing. Allah ta'ala would accept that. And then he saw another person who offered his salah, and then that person, after he gave salam, he did the hamd of Allah ta'ala, recited durood
durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up to him and said, "Now make dua in the court of Allah, your duas will be accepted." So Harun bhai, coming to yourself, mashallah, Azawajal, some of the etiquettes and manners of dua.
Abhisar, this is a very important, you know, gift of Allah Azawajal. And this is a very important relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, you wouldn't go to the court of the king and try and... what you'd do is, before you... if you were invited to the court of the king, you would try and find out what the etiquettes are for that. You would try and see, I don't want to behave in a way that the king doesn't like. Mm-hmm. Now, when you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal to ask for your needs, that's what it is, isn't it? It's your need, mm-hmm. and your requirement. And yet you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you know, you see them in the masjids, they've got their hands down here. I mean, I'm doing dua, yeah? And time and time again, Amir al-Sunnat, when they're on there, they said, look, raise your hands, you know, ateliyunka qibla asmane, raise it towards the heavens, and do this, at least shoulder level. If your arms are showing, that's even better. You know, there are etiquettes in the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, did dua. The other thing too important to understand is this, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the azaz of this goes to Amir al-Sunnah. The credit for this in this day and age goes to Amir al-Sunnah. Why? If you look at the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every moment Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, because if you're about to go out, read this dua. If you're coming into your house, read this dua. If you're about to eat something, read this dua. After you've eaten, read this dua. If you're going to Baitul Khala, if you're going to the bathroom, read this dua. If you're coming out, read this dua. Every moment of the life, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us dua and the essence of it. You know, our life should be decorated with dua. We should be constantly making dua in the court of Allah Azzawajal to help us, to protect us. And only Dawat Islami teaches these, you know, at the moment. I haven't seen very many. And there's a list of these du'as, alhamdulillah, in the books and everything else. And a lot of madrasa children learn it. Now, there is etiquette. Let me, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to du'a for some, they haven't got time. They think that their time, you know, is more important spent elsewhere. I'm not going to pull my punches. They're foolish. Why? Because the most important thing that you can do is make your dua properly.
Subhanallah.
This is the biggest weapon, the biggest gift, and the biggest power that you have. You are asking Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, if you're in a calamity and you need help, nobody can help you. If Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is the famous kind of hadith of Mubarak as well, if the whole world, the rationale of it is, if the whole world came together and tried to help you, but Allah Azza wa Jal didn't want you to benefit from that thing, you wouldn't benefit. And if the whole world came together and tried to destroy you or do anything, if Allah didn't want it, they couldn't do nothing to you. Now, if we believe that, then the power of dua is amazing. The power of dua is your connection with Allah. Now, you know, if you had, you know what often happens, Shiraz Bey? You know, people go to like a doctor or a lawyer or something, but Shani, you know, you're really upset and you're thinking, I've got this ailment, I've got this illness, or I've got a legal battle and I don't know what I'm doing. And you know, when you've instructed a good doctor, a top of the surgeon, you know, best surgeon in the country, you think, chalo, itminan ho gaya, ab jaake aaram se soonga. You know, my son's being looked after, one of the best surgeons, or my case is with one of the best barristers, you know, who deals with this sort of stuff in the country. Ab main jaake aaram se so sakta hoon. A lot of our people are in depression about their problems. Mm. Why not put your problems in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla and say, Malik, I'm not worthy of anything, but this is my problem. You help me. You are the only one who can help me. I leave this problem in your court. My job is, because it's a two-way process. You can't say, I'm going to go out chilling with the boys. I'm going to miss my salah. I'm not going to read the Quran. I'm going to look at filth on this. I'm going to look at filth outside. I'm going to do all these things. But I want Allah to accept my du'as. He's still Rahman or Rahim. He loves you.
The thing is, like exactly the same situation. We don't have the trust in Allah.
Allah.
That's the issue. If you've got such a big problem, you think, well, a person has this mentality that, look, only I could be able to, you know, solve it myself, but it's going to happen slowly or whatever it is. We do not have that thought that, you know, if I leave it to Allah, Allah will help me. You know, as soon as we get that inside us, for example, like you mentioned earlier, you know, leaving the home, you read a dua. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now, you know, what happened was, there was a time, you know, one of my friends got murdered, right? And at that time, you feel like this fear, okay, walking out the house, and you know, anyone could
attack you. Was that in your heydays?
It was a few years ago.
Okay.
And what happened was, I would feel scared, just leaving the home, like this sort of nervousness. You know, why if someone, it's possible anyone could just turn around and stab you as well. But you know, when you read that dua, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah.
Subhanallah.
Now you're like, you know what? I've got no fears.
Subhanallah.
I put my trust in Allah. So you know, even now this, for example, now a person, if he carries on just walking out of his house and he's scared, and you read, you know, case studies, and this person, this happened to him, and for the rest of their life, they, you know, they're very, they're full of anxiety. But you know, if they had God and dua in their life, and on every corner, they made this dua. For example, leaving the home, they make a dua, entering the home, even eating, drinking, whatever it is, you know, for example, now, because of this virus going around, some people possibly even scared to eat something.
Yeah.
But we, as Muslims, you know, we read that dua, and even poison cannot affect it. If there's poison in your food. Now, we don't have no fear. And this will prevent you from depression. And one thing about Islam is the beautiful, it doesn't give you a solution. Islam, it gives you solutions, but understand this phrase. It doesn't give you a solution, it gives you prevention. It doesn't even let the thing happen.
Subhanallah.
First, you know, we don't even want, Islam doesn't even want you to suffer from all these things. Yes, if you do, then there's solutions as well. But the first case is, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He wouldn't want a hospital to be established. He wouldn't even want people to get ill. Nakulu washrabu wala tusrifu, that eat, drink, but don't go over your limits.
Moderation.
This is, you know, preventing you from getting you know, diseases, so on and so forth, overweight, whatever. Most people in hospital are out there because of their eating problems. So Allah doesn't, He wants to prevent you from suffering any sort of calamity, any sort of depression, anxiety, all these problems that are on our rise nowadays. And dua is the essence of that. The more duas now, you know, we learn the duas. Many of us know the duas. The brothers watching in madrasa, they learn the duas. But how many times do we read that dua?
How many, you mentioned heating problem.
Eating,
I just
problem.
Remember, Harun bhai said, "Badi garmi lag rahi hai. Zara paranthe kha dene, the garmi lagti hai." But mashallah,
you know, the power of the dua is our topic. Basically, he was mentioning, you know, how duas we should make them at different times. And alhamdulillah, you know, over the last like 20-25 years in the Madni Mahal of Dawat Islam, we were taught as soon as we leave the home. It's kind of one of those things that alhamdulillah, through the teachings of Dawat Islam, the emphasis of Amir al-Sunnah upon it, we read Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah, and then we read Ayatul Kursi, and then the dua when you get into the car, Subhanallah, sakhara lana. And that's a habit, you know, with Drushi for Wilakhir. And yakin karein ke, there's been so many times when you're driving, you think, how did I survive that? I've just missed him. How did that happen? You know, and you know, you see accidents unfolding in front of you. You think, another 2 seconds, I would have been in the middle of that. And it's just the power of the dua that has saved you. And yakin karein, not once, not twice, many times over the last 20 years, I've come home and I've said, Alhamdulillah, du'ani barakatna, you know, aj bachi hai. And that happens. And this is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught that. Now, I'm going to mention another point, because we've got Shiraz by here, you can say things with confidence, mashallah. You've got to learn a scholar there. Decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, it's one of those things that was written, Allah Azza wa Jal wrote everything down, and it's all encompassed within the great book. And then when you are arriving in this world, Allah Azza wa Jal sends it down to the registers, and it's there. And it can't be changed. Or can it?
In some cases it can.
Yeah. And two cases. One is sadaqah, and the second is dua.
Subhanallah.
You make dua in the court of Allah. So look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. In His infinite wisdom and in infinite knowledge, He knows what you're going to do.
Subhanallah.
Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed something, but if a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal humbly asks, you know, those people who get up in the middle of the night, like everybody's asleep, and they get up and they do wuzu and they put the prayer mat down and they put their head in prostration, they cry in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, a calamity might have been written for them, but Allah says, look, everybody's asleep, my banda is prostrating to me, get rid of that calamity. Even though it's decreed for him, get rid of it. Or he says, Ya Allah, I want success in my business. Do you know, success wasn't written for him, but he's got up in the middle of the night. Yeah, he's done a good deed, and he's asked for dua, he's read salah, and he's asked for dua. And this is why the scholar's right, that what we should do is, say you want something really badly, subah sham, keep asking. You know, if somebody came to you once and said, I need this, you know, fob him away. Twice, three. After third or fourth time, you think, Chalo yaar, bar bar he's coming again. They should give it to him. You know, you've got the power to give. You've got something. Tika, you can have it. Allah Azza wa Jal's treasures know no bounds. You know, Allah's treasures are endless.
Hadith Sharif is just an amazing one. And Allah says, he gives an analogy of how Razi, how, you know, pleased Allah gets with his servant
Allah
when he makes dua for tawbah in his court. He says that it's like a person who's gets lost in a jungle, and whilst he gets lost, his ride, his camel or his horse with all his luggage on his food, everything that he had, this departs lost, runs away from him. And at that point, he's just, because that's his life now, because he's trapped in a jungle.
Gee.
Next thing for him is just to wait for death. Now this person, if you imagine his emotions, that's it. So he goes and he sits next to a tree. This Hadith Sharif, Muslim Sharif. He goes and sits next to a tree and he just waits for death. And whilst he's laying down on his side, remember the horse had his food, his water, everything, all his luggage was on there. And he becomes hopeless.
Allah.
Totally hopeless. And he lays down in the shade of a tree. And whilst he's laying down, he opens his eyes and his mount has come back.
Allah.
His rider has come back right in front of him. And he quickly grabs the saddle. And he says that it's giving you the, you know, the idea of how happy would that person
feel.
And Allah says that, so it's like for us to understand that how pleased Allah will be if a person does tawbah, does dua from his sin to Allah in Allah's court. And then the hadith goes on, but the point is that we, you know, lowering ourselves, humbling ourselves and going into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making this dua, Ya Allah, I have made a mistake. But, you know, I was in a petrol station and I was getting my stuff, and there's a person and he's bought something. And it was not something good, basically. And I said to him, Toba, Toba, as a, you know, a casual joke. But I wanted him to understand something as well, that he shouldn't be doing something like that. And now it was a sin. Whatever he was getting, it was a sin. And he began to justify it. He says, brother, this is halal. And I'm like, look, Quran and Hadith says it's haram, it's haram. He says, no, I think it's halal. Like, listen, Quran is saying it's haram. Allah, who are you to say it's halal? Like, anyways, the argument got a bit, you know, out of control. But anyways, this person went away and justified himself. But what I said to him, I said, look, rather than saying this is halal and justifying it, it would be better for you to say that, look, brother, I know this is haram, make dua for me that I stop it. This would make you look better, it would make you more stronger, rather than going around justifying it and becoming arrogant. This is exactly what Shaitan done. He justified his sin rather than repenting and asking people, look, do dua for me, I want to stop.
MashaAllah. So request for kalam, so we'll have Umar bhai. MashaAllah, if you can read it one poem each, Umar bhai. MashaAllah, jo kalam. Madina.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Shafi'i umam shaheem zija.
Thing. Is there any du'as that we should not be making?
Yeah, for death.
For that, Ya Allah, give me death and all
that. And for, you know, like hatred against someone.
Ji. فلانے بزنس تباہ ہو جائے یو شوڈ نٹ میک دیٹ دعا ایز ویل اینڈ ڈونٹ آسک فار سم تھنگ وچ از امپاسبل یو نو یا اللہ
پروفٹ ہوڈ
یا ڈونٹ آسک فار پروفٹ ہوڈ یا اللہ مے آئی نیور گیٹ ایل بیکاز لائک یو سیڈ ایلنس از آلسو ا نعمت ایز ویل اینڈ آلسو ڈو ناٹ میک دعا ٹو بریک آف ریلیشنز ود ریلیٹیوز یا اللہ وش سو ون سو بریکس ریلیشن شپ ود می اینڈ ڈو ناٹ میک دعا فار اے سین سیکنگ اے سین از آلسو اے سین ایز ویل جی ہارون بھائی اینی لاسٹ ورڈز آف وزڈم فرام یور سیلف ریگارڈنگ ٹو ڈیز ٹاپک
حفظ صاحب دعا از یور کنورسیشن ود اللہ عز و جل یور کریئیٹر
سبحان اللہ
اور ماسٹر ناؤ یو میک دیٹ دعا نوئنگ دیٹ اللہ عز و جل از آل پاورفل اینڈ دیٹ ہی ہز پاورز آر ایکسٹراڈنری ہی کین گرانٹ یور وشیز ہی کین فری یو فرام یور سنز ہی کین فرگیو یو اینڈ ریپینٹنس از ون آف دا گریٹسٹ دعاز دیٹ یو ول میک اینڈ وانس یو میک دا دعا اینڈ یو میک دس ہیبٹ آف کانسٹنٹلی میکنگ دعا ان دا کورٹ آف اللہ عز و جل یو ول فیل لبریٹڈ یو نو آل دس ٹینشن اٹ آل ڈسپیئرز یو فیل پاورفل بیکاز یو ہیو گیون آل یور پرابلمز ان دا کورٹ آف اللہ عز و جل فار دا سولوشن فرام دا ون ہو پرووائڈ سولوشن ٹو ایوری تھنگ اینڈ دین the Ulama Ikram in accordance with the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that there are etiquettes for dua. You don't just walk up to a king and say, I want this. What you do is you do their tarif. So what they say is the beautiful attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, proclaim them, do the hamd of Allah Azza wa Jal, read Ya Rabbana, and you know, call out to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then once you've called out to Allah Azza wa Jal, then if you really want your duas accepted, this is the last thing I'm going to say today. Hazrat Umar Farooq رضی اللہ عنہ says something beautiful. He says, Duas remain suspended between the heavens and the earth. And if you want them being accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, decorate them with Durood-e Pak. Read Durood-e Pak before, read Durood-e Pak after. Put your duas in between. And by the vasila of Durood-e Pak, alhamdulillah, all your jais and naik duas will be accepted.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. My dear Islam brothers, this brings us to the end of our program today. Hope you enjoyed and also learned something as well. Keep everyone in your duas, us, the whole Muslims around the world, especially your parents and your family members as well. May Allah Ta'ala reward you. Take care. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala al-Muhammad.
Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way life. Islam is the way.